Song reminded me of a couple of things. Driving up here this morning, I was coming up 7 Highway, and there over in the field was a bunch of mama cows. And they're all feeding this way, and over on this side of the pasture right here is a bunch of little babies laying in the grass. And I was thinking that. I was thinking, well, do those mamas know about those babies? Are those mamas concerned about those little babies? Well, I thought if I stopped this car and I just got out and walked over those little babies, I'd probably find out how concerned those mamas were. Meaning, God is looking after us. Meaning that He sees us and He's not asleep. He's not on vacation. He didn't go somewhere. But He's on point, He's on the job, and He's watching His children. If you've got your Bibles right here, I'm gonna be talking about the 18th and the 19th chapter of 2 Kings. I'm not going to read them, but I'm going to exercise from them verses. And I'm doing this. There's a very good reason why I'm doing it. This is the 18th chapter of 2 Kings, and then I'll go into the 19th chapter of 2 Kings. So I'm going to tell you what the verses are that I'm going to major on. But what I'd like to say is, from beginning to end, we have the sentiments, we have the personality, we have the insight, we have the attitude, the action, the way our God is, from Genesis to Revelation. And so whenever I'm reading something in the Bible or the Book of Mormon, as I'm reading that, I begin to understand His opinion about whatever it is that I'm interested in. That He has a definite opinion, if that's the right word. He's got a view. This is what He believes. And so I believe that as we pass through the Bible and the Book of Mormon, doesn't matter, in my opinion, doesn't matter where you're going, you see the hand of God in that. You see what He's trying to do. He's doing something. He's making a message. He's making a point. He's going somewhere. He has it in mind what He wants done. Now, I also believe this, that because He is the God of yesterday, today, and forever, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, as I read, and I can read in the Old Testament, I can read in the Old Testament, the Book of Mormon, I can see myself in that, and you yourself. We can see ourselves in that, though it's an old story. It may be Old Testament. It may be in Genesis, Deuteronomy, Leviticus, Numbers. It doesn't matter. We can see that there's a part of that applies to our life. It's just not just an old story. It's not saying, well, you know, that was a good old story right here. Let's go to the next chapter. You can find yourself in there, and you can find answers. You can find direction. You can find the chastisement of God. I believe that throughout this, you can find the predicted will of God in our future. Now, we're going to go through this 18th and 19th chapter right here. And what this implies to me, what it says to me, I see myself here. And you see yourself in this. And as you see yourself in this, as we read here in the Old and the New Testament in the Book of Mormon, we know where this world's going. Just like my neighbor, I'm driving my tractor, and I don't talk to him hardly at all right here. They're reclusive, and we got a big long driveway, and we just pass by, and they're off doing their thing. But he was by my fence, mending the fence or doing something. I'm driving my tractor mowing right here, and I see him there, and I come and make a big full circle right here, and I stopped my tractor, turned it off, looked right at him, and this is all I said. What's happening? I said, he goes like this. I don't know. Meaning, what's happening to your world? Where is it going? What's going to happen? What's going to happen to me? He knew that instantly. And I know it. And I, when I read this, we have what God is going to do. We have what the world is going to do. We understand what God's mind is towards our future. We understand what the world's mind is in that future. And so in these 18th and 19th chapters, throughout the Bible, throughout the book, but in this 18th, we're going to see that. So let's go. Now, let me give you, because I'm not going to read it all right here, let me give you the insight. King Hezekiah, good man, has his kingdom of Israel right here. The Assyrians have come and they're attacking Israel. They're going to destroy Israel. And so what does he do? What is God going to do? What is the mind of predictable man? What is he going to do? What will he do? What did he do? Let's see it. The third chapter. This is speaking of Hezekiah in the third. I'm sorry, 18th chapter and the third verse. And he, meaning Hezekiah, he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. He did that which was right in the sight of God. Is there a perk? Is there a benefit? Is there an expected end for a man, a woman, a family, a church, a nation that does what is right before God? You can predict it. You can see it. You can look at it. A young man, a young family, a church, a colony, a nation. You can see they're doing just right. They're serving the Lord. They're loving one another. They're sacrificing. They're giving. They have put themselves on the line and they're ready for whatever sacrifices. Good stuff. What would be the predicted end of that? Good. And here Hezekiah, not like his predecessors and those that followed him, a righteous, good man. God noticed that. God saw that. You don't think that he sees, that he's watching the sparrow? He's watching our life. And I'll tell you what, I've had him do this to me. Not good. Best not do that. Or you did it. Or he's done. I can feel it like this. All right. Here it is right here. He did that which was right in the sight of God. Now, seventh verse. And the Lord was with him and prospered him. I may have said this before, I can't remember right here, but I was in a prayer meeting one time, and it was a big prayer meeting, the whole church. And this individual stood up, and this person gave us 45 minutes of terror and trouble, of heartbreak and headache. This happens to me. And this is what happened to my family. And the people that I know right here, they're committing suicide, and they're robbing banks, and they're taking drugs, and divorce is like crazy, and all this stuff is happening right here. And where is God? And then I see, and I know, because I've heard the testimonies of you. I've seen it of our brothers and sisters of our little church. Though the Orrin Cavanesses and the Skeet Yateses and the Rondell Shaws and McAndoos, all those folks right here, I saw them. I saw them up front and personal right here in this local, because this is where Becky and I got married. This was like the beginning of our beginning of where our life is going to go. And it was based on testimonies and lives that I looked at and I weighed and I saw that's good. And so on the contrary to this person standing up and giving this litany of trouble right here, what I've seen is God must not be there. Because wherever I've seen God planted in and leading the direction of a family, of a church, of an individual right here, I've seen God prosper them. And I'm not talking money. I'm talking This is the first day of goodness and mercy. And today is going to be a better day. My life is rich. I'm rich. The Christian can say that follows the Lord. You're going to say that through it all. Leaning on God right here. It's been good. The passage has been good. Until that day, just like Paul says, when that day comes to pass right here, he says, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the course. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, what? Henceforth, lieth up for me a crown of righteousness. That's what is with Hezekiah. And I believe all who have endeavored to serve the Lord, though I say there are potholes. We got them. I've hit them. I've been in those potholes, and sometimes it was a big bump out. But I believe that the road has been good and has been straight because God has been looking out after us. 12th verse. Israel has been taken into Assyria. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and Daniel right here. Remember the story there? They were packed up, taken into Babylon. This Israel is taken into Assyria right here. And why were they taken? Here's the answer here in the 12th verse. Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord. Kind of my dad raising me up. He had a stick. He had authority. And I dreaded to counter that authority, though I did it. But when I obeyed the voice, there wasn't any fear, there wasn't any worry about getting a licking. But when I disobeyed the voice and I knew it, oh man, trouble is coming. It's on its way. That's what happened here with the children of Israel. They did not obey the voice. The will of God was before them. We hear it every day. Up there in Independence, our kids, our families hear it every Sunday. And on Wednesday, the testimonies come right here. We all make the choice. We're making that choice. Will I or will I not obey the voice? Now, I say this, that the will and the voice of God is heard by all of us. And we hear that voice every day. And that voice, I hear that, and I'm not special. You've heard it. You hear it. God is coming, and He talks, and He says, Randy, He says, are you listening? No, I ain't listening. All right. That road today is going to be rough. Or, yeah, I'm listening. Go this way, don't go that way. Because they obeyed not the voice of the Lord of God, transgressed His covenant, and all that Moses, the servants of the Lord, commanded, would not hear them nor do them. Okay. Now, here we have, turn the page, I guess it's turn the page on you. I'm going to be reading the 30th verse of that 18th chapter. And in that 30th verse, Assyria has come. They're surrounded. And you can imagine if we had in Collins right here, you had the National Guard. You had the National Guard and, well, we've got 13 M16s and we got a bazooka and we got a Humvee. That's all we got. I don't know if you got anything like that here or not. All right. Don't have that. Doesn't look good. But you can imagine. You got that. That's what you got. And here is the Assyrian army bristling with missiles and highly trained soldiers of death with bombs and all of their ability to lay waste. They're surrounded. And here they come up against Hezekiah, and they're saying that in the 30th verse. Neither let Hezekiah, they're saying, this emissary, this ambassador is telling the people, don't let Hezekiah convince you that his God will deliver you. Don't believe that. Because look outside your wall. You see all those bayonets and all those men at attention? You see all the tanks lined up and the bazookas and the cannon and our planes right there buzzing around. You can see that. You're dead meat. You're not going to survive unless you bring us a tribute. Unless you own up to your defeat and you swear yourselves as our slaves and our vassal, right? And then, it says, I don't know where it says, yeah, in that 23rd verse, it says, and then we will send you 2,000 horses if you've got enough men to ride those horses. And that's the disdain. That is the threat of the enemy. And he's coming. What am I saying? We're going to see that. That's on its way. We're going to see it come against our family, our church, our nation, the state of Missouri. We're going to see this stuff coming this way. This threat of the enemies of God coming in innumerable host. And the view is going to be, we can't fight it. We can't defend against it. They outnumber us. They're more than us. Back here, several chapters right here, is the story of Elisha and the servant. And Elisha in another battle for which the nation of Syria is gathered against Israel. And they've gathered together against all of Israel. And Elijah's standing here with his quaking servant right here. And the servant is trembling right here as they look and see all the soldiers there are ready to kill us and devour us. Elisha looks at him. He says, boy, my word. He says, boy, he says, what are you quaking about? Look at that! All these guys everywhere! I mean, we're surrounded. They're going to kill us. They don't want to cut an axe. Calm down. Calm down. Don't you know that there is more for us than there is for them? There's two of us? And there's 100,000 of them? There's two of us? What are you talking about? And what did Elijah do? He prayed that God would open his eyes that he may see how it is and how it is. We've got power and might. And the enemy gathered against us can't stand. That's the message here. And then he says there in the 33rd verse, and here it comes. Hath any of the gods of the nations delivered at all this land out of the hand of the king of Assyria? Has anybody, look and see all the nations that have fallen by the mighty arm of Assyria right here. Do you think that your God can protect you? That's what this guy is saying. This ambassador is coming up and he's strutting with his chest hanging out and he's walking back and forth right here. Do you really think God can do that? Do you really think that your God can withstand our might? Because we know he can't. Whose attention have you got now? You've got God's attention. And he heard that. This man better look out. First verse of chapter 19. And it came to pass when King Hezekiah heard it that he rent his clothes and he went into the house of the Lord. And in the fourth verse it says, of his servants and his people are saying, it may be the Lord thy God, or the enemy is saying, it may be the Lord thy God will hear all the words of Rabshakeh, whom the king of Assyria, his master, has sent to reproach the living God and will reprove the words which the Lord thy God hath heard. Therefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant hath that are left. This is the servant saying this. He is reproaching the living God. Hezekiah has rent his clothes. And it says it in some other place right here. I can't remember right now where it says it. But he says he takes that letter and he opens it up and he prostrates himself over that letter from this wicked man. And this wicked man is saying, you will not be delivered by your God. We will take you. And so in this fourth verse right here, he has reproached the living God. That is God's perception of what this man has done. And then it says right here in the latter part of that fourth verse, wherefore lift up thy prayer for the remnant that are left. Now, if you read this chapter, you're going to see this remnant is mentioned four times. The remnant. I believe that there's going to be few. Bible says right here, straight is the gate and narrow is the way. And how many find it? Few. All right. I want to be among the few. I want to be in that crowd. I want to be with them, that few, that remnant. Now that remnant, when God has his hand on the remnant, there's no atomic bomb big enough can take them. There's no power on earth or hell can dissuade them from their journey towards the high place of God. So this is the remnant right here, sixth verse. They go to Isaiah. Isaiah is in Israel at the time of Hezekiah. And Isaiah said unto them, thus shall you say to your master, thus saith the Lord, be not afraid of their words, which thou hast heard with the servants of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Be not afraid of their words. How many times have we seen that in the scriptures as we read it? We were talking about Nephi. I believe that little inner voice into Nephi was, your brothers are making your life miserable. Your brothers have tied you up on this ship. Your brothers blaspheme you and they curse you and they threaten your life. Nephi, be not afraid. I find that a wonderful tribute. I remember my dad. I may have said this before too, but we was in a conference there, and somebody was speaking, and a man stood up that we didn't know. He stood up and just stood there, just trembling. And my dad got up, said, "Brother, you need to sit down." And this man said, "My place is not here." And Dad said, "Then your place is out there. Go." And he left. Be not afraid. Be not afraid of the enemy when he comes and when he wants to terrorize us. This ISIS thing is a terrorizing force. I don't think we've seen the end of it. And God is telling us, be not afraid. Stand in the might of the Lord. Stand with your garments, with the garments of the breastplate of faith and the sword of the Spirit and your feet shod with the preparation of peace. Stand in that holy protection of God. And that's what he's telling Israel. He's telling Israel right here, he says, do not be afraid of them. It says in the seventh verse, behold, I will send a blast upon him, and he shall hear a rumor and shall return to his own land, and I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. Prophecy by God given to Israel, given to Hezekiah by Isaiah the prophet. And that prophet came and he says, I heard his reproach. And I'm coming down and I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I can't remember if it says it here or not. Well, we'll see when we get to it right here. But he heard this king of Assyria and his blasphemy against God. And so it says, don't be afraid, and that I'm coming down and I'm going to do something that's going to send a hot wind among his army right here. And they're going to return. And this king himself says right here, I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. We're going to see if that prophecy is so. 11th verse. And here again comes into the mind of the people, and it comes into the mind of the faithless. And in that 11th verse says, behold, thou hast heard that the king of Assyria have done to all lands by destroying them utterly, and shalt thou be delivered. He's saying, our king and our army has destroyed everything, utterly destroyed them, and shall your God deliver you. 14th verse. And here it is where I was talking about. And Hezekiah received the letter of the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went up into the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. And he took that evil letter. He took that letter for which ever word had to make him tremble. And what he's thinking in his own mind right here, what he's thinking is, we're gone. They're going to kill us all. We're going to be dung in the streets. They're going to take everything we own. They're going to carry that off to Assyria. This whole town is going to get rubbed out. We don't have a chance. We can't stand against this man. And then here Hezekiah prays in the 15th verse. And Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, O Lord God that is God, O Lord God, who is more powerful than all the enemies that come against us. O Lord God, which dwellest between the cherubims, thou art the God. No other God. All this Assyrian army, they worship a false, vain, wicked God. And all the wicked, and all the heathen, they worship these wicked, idolatrous gods right here. But thou art the God. Do you think that God likes to hear that? He loves that. He loves hearing from bowed knees. He loves hearing from his children, you are the mighty God. You are the only God. You're the only source that we have. Do you think he likes to hear that? He loves it. Thou art the God, even thou alone of all the kingdoms of the earth. Thou hast made heaven and earth. Lord, bow down thine ear. Listen to what they're saying. Lord, listen to what our enemies have said about you. They are cursing you before thousands. Their armies believe that. They believe that you, Almighty God, are not very mighty. They believe by the power of the devil, my own words right here, that there is no such God as you are that we pray to. Bow down thine ears and open, Lord, thine eyes and look and see what's happening down here. I believe God's going to hear that prayer from us one day. I've said that, and I know that you have said that prayer yourself. Lord, hear my plight. Look and see where I'm at. And I need you. And I can't do it without you. And hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent. 19th verse. Here's prayers continued. Hezekiah's prayer. 19. Now therefore, O Lord our God, I beseech thee, save thou us of his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth. There's a reason. You know, I haven't got to it at the moment right here, but I have wondered for a long time. I was in Salvation Army years ago. And I walked in there, and we had some stuff that we were going to leave off of the Salvation Army. And it was at Christmas time, and there was a young kid there, probably 13 years old. And I said, young man, I said, do you know what day this is? He said, yeah, it's Christmas. Okay. And where did that all begin? I don't know. Santa Claus. No? Well, do you recall, I'm asking this young man, do you remember anything of a special star that hung in the skies? Never heard of it. What about a manger and a virgin and a little baby? I don't know what you're talking about. And I've wondered, if you've got a major crop of young people like that, growing up, next generation, maybe the second generation is already here or more, they don't know what we know. They don't know God. They never heard or believed a testimony, not one, that we would say. And they are clueless of what we're doing here today. They wouldn't, if I read this, stories and prophecies and parables and words by Jesus right here that move us. I don't understand what in the world is, what this book's talking about. I have wondered how God is going to do it. Well, here's a way. Here's the unbelieving. Here's thousands and thousands of men who've been taught and raised up to believe in godlessness and idolatry. And here are all these men they have not a clue what Hezekiah or Isaiah is saying. They don't. But here's Hezekiah's prayer right here. He said, Lord, I'm praying to you that you're going to do something right here that is going to convince those that know not you of the only true and the living God. And we're going to see it. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, thou which hast prayed, he goes on talking about how they have reproached him and so forth. I'm coming on down here to the 27th verse. Now God is talking to King Sennacherib, if I said it right. God is talking to the Assyrian army. And he says, I know thy abode. He's talking to wickedness. He's talking to men who have subjected themselves to the devil. He's talking to men who have an anger, an evil thought against God. Remember in the Bible it talks about Satan, how Lucifer, how he was cast down? He said he had this evil thought. I'm going to ascend to the sides of the north and be like the Most High God. God heard that. He says, I know thy abode and thy going out and thy coming in and thy rage against me. That's unbelievable to me. I know it's so. There are men in this town. There are men and women in Independence. There are men and women in Congress that rage against the Lord. Rage. They hate him. He says, I know that, and thy rage against me, because thy rage against me and thy tumult has come up into my ears. I heard it. And the Almighty God heard it. And I'm beginning to move on my throne. I'm beginning to roll up my sleeves. The fury is beginning to come up into my face. I'm beginning to go to the stables there and round up the horses. And I can hear them stampeding in the stalls there. And I can see the steam come out of their nostrils. And they're ready to go. I'm referring to Revelations about the 18th and 19th, 20th chapter. Rage come up and I heard it. And we will deal with you who has the rage. The evil men of this country, of this world, God's coming to deal with them. And it says, come up into mine ears, therefore I will put my hook in thy nose and my bridle in thy lips, and I will turn thee back by the way by which thou camest. So here they come. Come all the way from Assyria. If we had a map, I'd like to show it to you. But they come from Assyria all the way down into the land of Israel right here and destroyed and laid waste every town in their path. And they've come now to the citadel, to the place, to where the devil knows that is the place, Jerusalem. That is where I'm going to climax my efforts of wickedness. I'm coming and I'm going to destroy Syria and Afghanistan and Sudan and Ethiopia. I'm going to rub them out. But where I've got in my mind, I'm coming against Jerusalem. And your Bible there in the 14th chapter of Zechariah says that. They're coming to surround and to take Israel, to take Jerusalem. And when they do, the fury of God's going to raise up and he's coming down then. Well, here's the same thing. This is a looking forward to, in my opinion. This is a prophetic, not specifically, but I see this as a prophetic omen against the wicked in some future day. It happened then in our past. It's going to happen, and I believe, in our day. And so his fury comes up. And then he says there in the 31st verse, "For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant." Do you remember the dream that Brother Addy had? And somebody referenced it there at the conference time. Did I say his name right? Merlin Eddy. And Merlin Eddy, he has this dream. And he sees the saints of God. And I've got it in my mind as single file there, but I don't know if it really says it. But they are moving, walking across an expanse of bare ice. They're walking across the expanse of bare ice, and they've got their stuff with them, and they've got in their hands something. And as they're crossing this bare ice right here, a voice goes out. I'm talking about the remnant. And the voice goes out, says, "Drop what you have and put your hooks in the ice." And he saw that. And said that he saw people who dropped what they had and they put their hooks in. And some have said those hooks are the Bible and the Book of Mormon. The will and the pleasure of God. And they drove those hooks down and the wind came and they were fast. And they weren't blown away. But not the remnant. But in that crowd, as they were going to that citadel up on high, they couldn't turn loose. And boy, I feel chastisement in that myself. I mean, I want to tell you, I feel that myself. And I'm asking myself that very thing. To drop it all. Drop the materialism, the things of this world, and use the only thing you've got and hook it down. That you won't be blown away. In the time of blowing, the time of God's judgment against the world and his judgment against the remnant. And those that kept their hooks in the ice right here were able to continue on to their journey up into the citadel where God was. And so he's talking to the remnant. Just like when Judas betrayed Jesus and the disciples didn't know it. And all the disciples asked Jesus, "Is it I?" Well, we need to ask ourselves good, strong questions. Am I going to be blown away? Am I part of the remnant? Am I going to be faithful? Help me, O God, that I'll be faithful. Don't let me get blown away. Put enough judgment and resolve in me right here that I'll drive my stakes in the Word of God, in the way of God, that I won't be blown off. For out of Jerusalem shall go forth a remnant, and out of Collins is going to be a remnant. Out of Independence is going to be a remnant. We need to make up our mind. We need to have the resolve, the determination. I will be there. I'm going there to heaven, to be where God is, to where the remnant is, where the safety is, where the fortress is that God has erected as the fortress is being built right here around Hezekiah and Jerusalem. He's built this fortress. And here's the king of Assyria, and he's making a lot of noise, and he feels he can, and he probably could, save for the might of God. 32nd verse. "Therefore thus saith the Lord concerning the king of Assyria, he shall not come into this city." He will not throw a stone into the city. He will not shoot an arrow. There won't be a spear. There won't be a human being. Your enemy that thinks he's so big and so strong, that enemy of yours that looks like he can do it, not a pebble is going to come in here. And none of you are going to be slain or devoured. Because I have said it. And I have ordained it. And there is no might nor power on earth greater than the power of God. So in the 35th verse, and it came to pass that night that the angel of the Lord came. 185,000 unbelievers met their death that night. 185,000. 185,000 men who knew nothing of God, who believed in their false God, who worshiped their false God, who thought that we are the CIA, the FBI, the National Security Team, we're the United States, we got the tanks, we got the power, nothing can stand against us. They're standing before God right now. And I have no idea what their soul condition is. But one angel was all it took to bring down 185,000 men. All it takes is one of the least of the angels, if I might say that. Just a little smidgen of the power of God to wipe away the enemy. Isaiah makes a statement talking about the nations of the earth. He says they're like the fine dust of the balance. Blow it right off. They're like a drop in a bucket. How many drops are in a bucket of water? That's the comparison that God makes to mighty United States. Russia and England and France and China, all of the nations built together in one army are like a drop in the bucket before God. Came to pass that the angel of the Lord went and he smote the army. Sennacherib, in the 36th verse, king of Assyria, departed. He lost. He lost the battle. He left. The king with the tail between his legs right here, he's heading back home. Boy, I got out of that one right here. I'm going back home. What did the prophecy say?
He'd be killed in his own land.
He's going to be killed in his own land. And he goes back to his own land. He kneels down before his altar. House of Nisroch. That's his god. This Nisroch. And he's bowing down before his god Nisroch. My sons will back me up. My sons will be watching over me while I'm bowing down to Nisroch. And his sons pull the knife and they kill their own father. The prophecy of Almighty God came true exactly as he said it would. The righteous remnant was delivered. The wicked enemy was destroyed. Men and women, can you imagine the rejoicing in the city? Can you imagine people who are hiding in their bunks? They're hiding under any kind of a rock they can find inside the walls of Jerusalem right here. We'll be dead tomorrow. And you get up and look. They're gone, except for 185,000 guys laying on the ground. They're all gone. Can you imagine the rejoicing? And that day, when God rolls up his sleeves and he begins to chastise the nations, when God Almighty comes and when he has removed the enemy far from us, how do you think we're going to be? I know how I'm going to be. I'm going to be on my knees, worshiping Almighty God. You did it. God be praised. Lord Almighty did it as he said he would do it. I'm hanging on to that in this 21st chapter of Luke says this. I don't fully understand this, but what it says, it seems like it is. It says, count yourself worthy to escape all these things coming to pass upon the earth, the judgments of God. Pray that you may be counted worthy that you'll escape. Tell you what, I pray that every night. I'm praying to Almighty God, Lord, weak, unbelievably weak, forgive me, save me, deliver me. Count me somehow how it's done, that I may be accounted as one of the remnant that has been spared and delivered in the time of judgment, in the time for which God builds his kingdom and he establishes Zion and establishes the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. I want to be there in that colony. God bless you.
Choice. Am I going to open that door and let Christ into my heart, into my life, or am I going to ignore it and, well, I'll do it later. I'll do it a little later. I want to do this or I want to do that, but right now I'll not take the time, and when he comes back and knocks, then I'll do that. You can't do that. You can't have that attitude. Let's go on with verse 21. To him that overcometh, and Christ is the ultimate overcomer, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. And listen to verse 22 really, really, really close. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the church. What is that verse saying? What kind of an ear are we talking about? We're talking about a